Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk with Hayward Area Tournament Bass Angler Ken Melender about technology and fishing. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
At Hayward Power Sports, we know it's fun to roam the boat shows. But remember, we have awesome deals every day, and we'll be here long after the shows. As a sampling of our Lund inventory, we have a Pro-V Bass, an 1875 Crossover, and an 1875 Impact set up in our outdoor showroom. Buy one today and claim huge Lund rebates up to $7,500. Plus, we'll have it ready to go for you right away this spring, and we'll even include free storage for next winter. Come check out our everyday boat show at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Today, anglers fish longer. Today, anglers fish harder. Today, anglers rely more than ever on their electronics. It all comes down to catching more fish, and today, anglers rely on Amped Outdoors lithium batteries, period. Visit ampedoutdoors.com today to power your outdoor experience.
We're down Hayward Bait and Bottle. I'm recording this week with Jarrett McCarthy, and Jarrett, you know, we had a little bit of a setback here with winter. Kind of came back with a vengeance on us.
Came back with a vengeance, but I mean, you know, in the long run, we're going to need that snow for moisture or what have you to start filling those lakes back up. So we'll be back to normal water levels and cruise around without being able to hit all the stumps and trees and stuff that are sticking out on a lot of our bodies of water. But yeah, a little bit of a setback around here, but I see some warmer weather on the horizon, so we'll get back to it here pretty quickly.
You know, that cold came in and some of the smaller lakes froze back up again, but that really is not much ice. That they're going to last long once we start getting warm and it's forecast warm. And you know, we're going into April here, definitely we're looking at rains and hopefully and warmer weather.
Yeah, you know, I see some 40s and 50s on the horizon. I see, you know, a lot of rain or what have you, which is good because we, you know, like I said, we need it. But, you know, those first couple of warm days that we get, man, it's going to be game on for everybody around here.
You bet. Well, you know, and that get back out on the water. As soon as we start warming up here, there'll be guys getting out early. And fishing season opener is still, you know, first Saturday in May, but there'll be some good fishing before that. There already was. And now after this setback, which warms up, you guys are going to get back out there again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's some great opportunities out there. You know, as soon as we get some warmer weather and guys are able to get their boat back out there, you know, a lot of people can get out there and find the crappies and bluegills. We'll still be out over a little bit deeper water. If you can get on the bass, you know, we've got the catch and release season for bass out there right now. Get out there and do plenty of fishing, and even with the snow, it's still pretty easy to get into all the rivers around here.
You know, I did have reports that before the snow came in, the cold, and did have reports of some pretty good crappies kept being caught.
Yeah, I had heard the same thing. Some guys getting them on some shallower lakes around here, getting them over whatever was left of the weeds. We didn't have a horrible winter. We had a lot of ice, so we still have a lot of good weeds out there on the lakes, but yeah, there were some nice fish being caught.
Yeah, and kind of right now you mentioned the streams and rivers, and there'll be a lot of guys, you know, for the next week or two heading up toward Brule River and stuff, I know.
Yeah, we just had the Brule open this last weekend, so I know that guys are going to be up there rain or shine. They're looking for those browns and those steelheads up there, among other things.
And if you don't want to go clear up there, you know, Nemacogin River, and we've got some trout streams. There's a lot of good places to fish trout up here.
Yeah, there really are. You know, you're really going to work for them up here, but it is so worth it when you finally get one.
You know, have you had any reports of guys heading to places? I know I just saw something on the internet the other day down on the Mississippi River catching walleyes. The walleye fishing down there is a little bit different. They're kind of scattered around because the water's really low and slow.
Yeah, we've heard that too, that it was really slow down there. Saw some guys down there fishing perch. They're doing really well on perch down there on the Miss. Walleyes have been pretty slow down there, but yeah, they're still catching some fish in there.
You know, and away from the fishing just a little bit for a minute, but you know, turkey seasons are coming, and you know, it looks like a lot of our turkeys had a real good winter this year.
Absolutely. I've seen a whole bunch from so far, turkeys and deer. You know, we had a really mild winter out there, so yeah, they're all over the place.
I know, and you guys got a bunch of turkey hunting stuff in here if they need something last minute too, I mentioned.
Yep, sure do. We're here for you.
You bet. You know, and let's talk a little bit about the early pan fishing with you. I mean, I get on here talk to you about the pan fishing all the time. Going out real early like this, what would you be your go-to? Let's start with the location, first of all.
So right now, I'm still looking in wintering places for crappies. So I'm looking in your deeper water basins, and deep is relative. We've talked about it before. I mean, your basin could be 15 to 20. It could be 20 to 35 out there. But I'm looking in those places adjacent to where those fish are going to start moving up into those shallow areas when the water finally gets warm. They should be fairly well piled up in certain spots that are out there, but it's just kind of getting over the school and staying on the school.
You bet. Finding them with your electronics is the name of the game. And as far as the presentation, what do you like to do?
Right now, you can still be using little jigs and little plastics. I mean, you're kind of using your same getup with ice fishing just right over the boat or what have you. While it's cold and the fish are still kind of negative out there, live bait is a really good option. You can still be using crappie minnows and waxies just on a really, really little jig and, you know, start to work some of those little bit bigger plastics for those bigger fish. But, I mean, I've done it before when we still get clear into spring when those waters are still chilly, you know, that 45, 50 degree water temps, you know, a lot of times in years past with crappies and the bigger bluegills, I'm taking my ice tackle out onto the water, and even if I'm running under a slip bobber, those little tungstens or those little ice jigs, they work awesome as a downsized presentation when those fish just don't want a big gob of worm yet.
Yeah, tungsten's a little heavier, it gets down quicker. Anyway, Jarrett, you know, you guys are geared up, you're getting everything set for spring here, a lot of new stuff.
Absolutely, lots of new stuff, and it's still coming in. You know, we're gonna keep seeing stuff all the way through April and May here with you know, regular tackle, and then May we're gonna start getting there into our some of our musky tackle or what have you. But yeah, if you're looking for anything to get going in this next season, come on in, have a chat with us. You know, we've got a whole bunch of stuff here, and if we don't have it for you, we'll order it for you.
Jared, thank you for taking the time with us here.
Yep, thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to Hayward Area Bass Tournament angler Ken Melunder. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports has remodeled our service center. This is service manager Damon Schrader. Don't worry, we have the same friendly faces with a service team of 16 highly skilled and certified technicians and a parts inventory that's second to none. We're ready to service and repair your BRP and Polaris machines, plus virtually every major outboard on the planet. And remember, it's always a good idea to think ahead and bring your machines early for the next season. See Hayward Power Sports just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or call 715-462-3672.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know our annual conservation hearings will be coming up on the 8th of April this year. And on that thing, there's a bunch of different questions we always answer. And one of the things that's coming up has been a little bit controversial with some of the anglers out there. And they're talking about some of the new technology, like forward-facing sonar or what they call live scope sometimes. And I had a chance to talk to Ken Melender, who's from Hayward here down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Ken also fishes a lot of bass tournaments. We're talking to Ken Melender, who works in Hayward at Hayward Bait, and Ken also is a bass fisherman. You fish a lot of tournaments. Actually, you're fishing the big national championships down in Oklahoma next fall.
Yeah, it'll be the first week in November on Grand Lake, Oklahoma.
So you should be pretty well versed on electronics. You use electronics. And one thing I see on the conservation hearings this year, there'll be I don't know who came up with it, but there's a new favor banning LiveScope type sonar and 360. I don't know where that came in at, because it's two totally separate things. But there's a lot on the internet nowadays about all this, you know, advanced sonar going on out there, and some want to ban it. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but what's going on there?
Well, Randy Blanket, you know, he fished a pro tour for many years. He's kind of an old school angler. You know, he's been very, very vocal online in regards to trying to, you know, get it banned. I can see that the crappie population at some point in time, maybe the walleye population, are being caught a lot faster to get your bag limit. But basically, I don't think a state agency or government agency should interfere with the fishing industry and advancement of technology. Because if you look through the course of the years, you know, you had underwater cameras. So underwater cameras, they're like a gold mine. They'll like clean house on any forward-facing sonar or 360. So taking forward-facing sonar out of the equation, Mega 360, you can see the fish, you can cast them, you can tell what kind of fish they are if you play with your electronics and know what they are. It's just a little delayed program, you can still locate them, especially if there's a school of crappies on a fish crib. But the only advantage for forward-facing sonar is regards to how the fish reacts to your bait. You have no idea what kind of fish that is. But if you use an underwater camera, yep, those are carp. Let's go to another spot. But I think if you stop technology from being used by anglers, the license sales are going to drop considerably. Because if you look at the new millennium, in fact, I just went and got a college degree and I graduated in 2016. So I'd watch. If they ain't on their tech talkers 24/7, they're not happy. So if you want to continue selling more licenses, the younger generation are going to participate. That doesn't mean they're going to eat the fish. In fact, once the EPA gets done with all their strategic forever chemical studies and stuff, you know, a lot of areas, the fish will not be safe to eat. You know, maybe 6 ounces a week. By banning that, economically, if we did it in the state of Wisconsin, we're just going to go to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've seen this in my boat. I've seen kids, for instance, that they wanted to play. They weren't catching any fish. They didn't know what a bite feels like. They're sitting, wanting to play with their cell phone. I get them over there and get them on the live scope, the Garmin live scope, where they can actually see the fish. They can see how the fish come up to their bait. They can see when the fish grabs it. And now they, oh, that was a bite. A little bit of a bite is. And they catch a few fish. And then I take, boom, the other end of the boat. They're all engaged. They want to catch fish, and they're catching fish without the live scope. But that live scope taught them what that bite feels like, and it got them engaged away from their cell phone. And I've seen this repeatedly, time after time, over the last 2 years I've been running Garmin live scope units in my boats.
So, the DNR does not have the funding for law enforcement. So there is a lot of phone calls that I get for the course of the year. Well, this person's doing this and that. This person doing that. And so I give a call to Aaron. And it's like, I don't have all the proper information. So here's an idea for the DNR. So like the Coast Guard, they have like a junior membership where you can participate with the Coast Guard, looking for volunteers and stuff like that. Why not create something through the DNR where you have eyes on the water? For instance, here's a big county park. All right, you go check that fish cleaning house basket every day. I do that all the time. And you can't believe what I found out on Shell Lake 1 year. So anyways, you can find out what's happening with the fisheries and stuff. And then, so then, if that person reports, if a person gets caught with 600 crappies over their limit, that person would be rewarded through the tip program. So they need to advertise the tip program more. I mean, go social media, go gangbusters or whatever, but because it's the anglers that will be more proactive on protecting it, because the state of Wisconsin doesn't have the budget for law enforcement to be out on the water all the time.
Well, you know, and when you mentioned crappies, for one, you could see some overharvest on some waters. Yes, and we've seen that with technology all the way down through. You know, I will argue probably the worst technology that enabled people to catch more fish was GPS and very accurate lake mapping, more so than the sonar. But with the live sonar now, that's stirring a whole can of worms up. People are saying they want to, you know, outlaw this or do that. Well, I want to get into why they probably can't outlaw it here in a little bit. But, you know, that there's so much out there. It's not the equipment. It's not the tool. It's the person using the tool. In other words, we're always going to have some people out there that are greedy, or they're going to violate, they're going to take too many fish. Does that mean that everyone out there should have to suffer and not be able to use this technology because of a handful of people?
Correct. There's a lot of people, you know, that I talk to on a daily basis. They're catch and release. You know, I've had 6-7 year olds come into the store and they let this 12-inch crappie go. And they felt more proud of themselves on letting that fish go than they did catching it.
I'm seeing the same thing, Ken. I'm seeing more people releasing fish out there. As to, you know, they're crying now, they want to ban it or outlaw it. Okay, here's a couple of reasons they probably are going to have a tough time with that. You said we're lacking enforcement in Wisconsin. Say they made 360, Hummingbird 360, illegal. You couldn't use it. 360 is nothing more than side imaging that's turning. Same difference, because actually I could put my 360 transducer in the water and set the unit in the side imaging mode. The transducer don't turn, and I'm using side imaging. Now, who's going to tell me if I'm looking at the mega live screen or a live scope screen, or if I'm using Hummingbird, whether I'm looking at the mega live screen or if I'm looking at the 360 or I'm looking at side imaging? They're not going to know which screen you're looking at. Garmin live scope, same thing. I put that transducer in, I can actually pull up down imaging on it or regular sonar on it. And, you know, I can use that transducer for that. So now that application wouldn't be illegal. So if you had that transducer in, who's going to stand over your shoulder and say, you can't turn on that forward-facing sonar screen? You know, they won't know. So it's virtually almost an impossible thing to regulate, I think.
Very, very much so. So let's look long-term. So let's say if you implemented, okay, if you want to use forward-facing sonar, not just live scope or 360. This is a forward-facing sonar. If you want to fish in this state with that technology, well, any different than trout stamp, pheasant stamp, put a $20 stamp for forward-facing sonar stamp. But here's the catch. 100% of that money has to go to restocking program. So just recently, I think the state funded to redo one of their hatcheries to upgrade it. But we just need more hatcheries. You know, we need to compete with our neighboring states. I think we're number 6 on amount of licenses sold, you know, out of the United States. You know, Texas, they're like over 2 million. So they're way above us.
Well, you know, another option that I heard somebody throw out too was that if you have forward-facing sonar in your boat, you can't have any fish in your live well. It'd be total catch and release, you know. And there's several different options that they could go with, other than restricting it, banning it. And because it's kind of like you could have a spotlight laying on the seat of your truck. It's not illegal, but shining deer with it is illegal. So basically, I can't see how they could tell you can't have forward-facing sonar in your boat and use it if you're not fishing. Even then, there's other things, reasons too, because there's commerce clauses where actually I looked into this where if a state were to outlaw something that would cost jobs in another state, that's a federal, it's illegal federally. So there's just a whole lot of reasons why they don't want to do it. And on top of that, you know, there's some of the people saying they need to ban it in bass tournaments. You know, look at BASS. How much money in sponsorship do they get from Minnesota, Hummingbird, and Garmin, Lowrance?
Well, that's a marketing campaign to create awareness so all the general public knows what the newest and greatest technology is available. You know, it's kind of like, you know, marketing for anything. So I guess long term, you know, there was a big outcry when AquaView first came out. Can't use that. And then Side Image came out. Then 360. You know, forward facing sonar, you know, there's three big companies that are making it now. Here's my opinion. 70% of the people that have it are not very good at using it.
I agree with that too. It takes a skill. It's not an automatic thing. You put a live scope or a hummingbird mega live on your boat and you just automatically go out and start catching a pile of fish.
Well, here's the other thing. So if you're going to stare at that screen, you're missing out on the bitterns, sandhill cranes, loons, eagles, frogs. Everything else in nature is why you're out there to start out with. So you have to have excellent hand and eye coordination. You have to be techie or spend countless hours on your own. Like 80% of the YouTube videos out there on setting your settings don't work. Just saying. They're just guys think they know what they're talking about. It takes a long time to dial in the settings, and even going from the flowage to round or, say, grindstone.
You're constantly setting it.
Yeah, they're different settings. And then they're constantly doing updates, you know, every company updates to give you better clarity.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with Ken Melander. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Ken Melander. I guess one thing I will say is that I think a beginner angler can gain by it if he takes the time to learn it. But the person that's going to gain the most from it is a person that really knows how to fish really good. A good angler that's electronic savvy stands to gain the most. And those people are less likely to over-harvest fish, I think. I think it's the person that gains the most is the person that already knows how to fish and gains electronics. See, they're the ones that gain the most from the use of that sonar.
Well, television and YouTube videos, you know, can teach a lot to a novice angler. But understanding the ecosystem of a water body, water temp, how it repositions fish. Like, if you tell me it's 65 degrees, I know exactly what section of the lake I'm going. I mean, I don't have to search around all for 8 hours to figure out where the fish are with it. I just go right there, and I know they're going to be there. You know, that's the difference between experience and non-experience.
Yeah, it takes angler skills. No matter what you use, where electronics, what you have in your boat, how much money you spend, if you don't have angler skills, you're not going to catch very many fish.
Well, to tell you the truth, I fished a lot of tournaments back in Minnesota. I was an angler of the year of a televised circuit with just a flasher. And I competed against all these guys that had all this fancy equipment. You know, I moved in Wisconsin in 2003. In 2004, I went to Nationals. Through BASS down in Keystone Lake down in Oklahoma. I never had that fancy gear, but you know what I did? I fished with my lure. That's the best advice I can give anybody. If you stay in contact with your lure and you let your lure tell you what type of weeds are down there, you're going to have a way better experience. And you know, it's like, sure, I was getting my butt kicked on some tournaments, you know, and I never had 360, and they're 360, and it's like, well, I have to drive all around the place and then GPS it on a handheld, and I'm thinking, so I have LiveScope now, and do I really contribute to winning? Do I use it to find fish? No, but I use it to find structure.
You know, that's the same thing I'll tell you, is that I've had it for 2 years. I've been using it. Do I catch any more or harvest any more fish in my guide boat during the season? No. I will say I probably catch a few more bigger panfish and a few more bigger fish, but we're not taking any more out of the resource than what we're taking. So there's a lot of other things out there that we need to look at other than saying, well, we need to outlaw this type of technology because, you know, I think we're moving forward. Technology is never going to stop. You know, it's always going to go. If you don't join in with it and figure out how to control it, how to manage it, you're going to be left behind.
Well, the DNR has been proactive in the last few years in regards to, you know, trying to limit the amount of panfish and stuff that have been harvested. You know, hats off to them. They're recognizing with their limited budget, they're recognizing that, you know, the longevity of this lake, you know, we have to protect it to some degree. So maybe they got to go one step further and look at it, you know, well, you know, so they have guys sitting on a lot of these lakes, you know, trying to protect for exotics and stuff. And, you know, in part, Lakeshore Association used part of that grant money to support that, which I think is a great idea. But they should make it take a count and see how many people are going to that lake with LiveScope. And the people don't have to answer their questions by law, but some people will tell you how many fish they caught and whether or not they use LiveScope or not. You know, before we jump on a ball wagon, let's do some analysis, you know, of 2-3 year program in regards to you collect some data. And then with the shocking surveys, if you knew that there was 3,000 boats on that lake with LiveScope, and then all of a sudden our population, our results ain't like what they should be, then incorporate a dang limit. Either decrease the size or the amount that you take just to protect it that way.
I think that's a view a lot of biologists, that they can manage the fishery by strictly bag limits and regulations. Well, Ken, you know, I want to thank you for coming on here. This has been an interesting talk about it. I know that this boat will be coming up on the conservation hearings this year, and I kind of urge everybody to, you know, vote no on this because, you know, where's it going to go next? They're going to tell you you got to go back to a cane pole or what? I don't know.
Here's another thing that the DNR can do. So they have a new rule in regards to, they want to know anyone that has an activity on a water body. So if it is a tournament, you know, some of the tournaments that cost you $50 as a permit, that way they can regulate how many man hours of fishing on a lake on a given time or during a month, just, you know, to keep an eye on that. But make it a requirement that they send you reports on the weight of all the fish. You know, each angler fill out a survey and say, okay, I caught 22 bass over 18 inches my 3 days out here. If they could put that, all that data, or if you caught any crappies, or start collecting data from the anglers. I mean, if you could just have something online where you could punch in this lake and then say, okay, I caught this and this X amount of man hours, you know, instead of doing the old paper way, create an app on your phone where they can report it on their phone immediately.
A lot of interesting ideas there, Ken. I want to thank you for coming on here, and hopefully me and you get a chance to get out and chase some bass here once we get warmer weather.
Yeah, you know, it's catch and release for bass season now. As soon as that water gets up, let's go do some frogging.
You bet. Well, thanks a lot, Ken, for taking the time here with our listeners.
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.